Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue.
Welcome back. In this series, we're walking along Mr. Benjamin Franklin, friend of the pod, through his autobiography to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little bit better every single day. This is Benjamin Franklin's part 15 of his autobiography, Leadership is Solving Problems, Not Seeking Glory. What makes someone a great leader? Is it courage, intelligence, charisma? Franklin would probably answer a different word, usefulness. In today's chapter, Franklin finds himself far from the printing business and the halls of government. Instead, he's sent to the dangerous frontier during a time of violence and uncertainty. And once again, he demonstrates that leadership isn't about titles. It is about helping people accomplish what they couldn't accomplish alone. As violence along the Pennsylvania's frontier intensified, settlements came under attack repeatedly. Families were fleeing. Entire communities lived in fear. The assembly turned to Franklin to help organize the defense of the frontier. Rather than leading an army into battle, Franklin's mission was practical. Go out to the frontier, build forts. Organize supplies, protect settlements, coordinate volunteers. It was exactly the kind of challenge Franklin excelled at. He assembled a force of volunteers and headed toward the frontier. Once there, his remarkable organizational abilities quickly became apparent. Under Franklin's direction, the men constructed a substantial fort in roughly a week's time. Planning, delegation, efficient use of labor. Franklin approached military logistics much the same way he had approached printing, libraries, and hospitals. Every problem became an organizational challenge waiting to be solved. During the project, Franklin made one of, I think, his most interesting observations just about general human nature. He observed that men were happiest after long days of difficult work. Heavy labor left them tired, but satisfied. It wasn't the hardest days that caused the problems. It was the days when it rained or bad weather prevented meaningful work. With nothing productive to do, arguments increased, complaints multiplied, small disagreements turned into large ones. Franklin concluded that purposeful work often contributes more to happiness than idleness. Once the fort was complete, he sent out scouting parties to explore the surrounding area. They soon discovered signs that Native American warriors had been watching and observing their progress and what they were doing. The scouts found places where attacks might have occurred had the volunteers been fewer in number. The fort's construction and the strength of Franklin's force had likely prevented violence before it ever began. Not long afterward, Franklin was recalled to Philadelphia. On his journey home, he visited a religious community along the way that practiced arranged marriages. Curious as always, Franklin asked whether such marriages often ended unhappily. The reply from the religious leaders came, and they said that many freely chosen marriages end badly. Franklin couldn't easily argue with their logic. It's another example of his willingness to question assumptions rather than dismiss unfamiliar ideas outright. Back in Philadelphia, Franklin's successful work on the frontier brought him even greater public respect. He was commissioned as a colonel in the militia. When he prepared to leave the city, his soldiers escorted him through Philadelphia with swords drawn in a ceremonial display of honor. The spectacle impressed many citizens. It also irritated the local governor. The governor had never received such a public tribute. Franklin's growing popularity made him increasingly suspicious. Even so, the governor continued to rely on Franklin's judgment, experience, and practical leadership whenever important matters arose. Franklin had become too valuable to ignore. So here are a few of the lessons that I picked up from this chapter. Lesson number one. Meaningful work produces satisfaction. Franklin's observation about the soldiers may be one of the most timeless lessons in the autobiography. People weren't happiest when they had nothing to do. They were happiest when they had meaningful work to do. We often imagine happiness comes from escaping responsibility. Franklin suggests the opposite. Purposeful effort gives life meaning. Lesson number two. Great leaders build systems. Notice what Franklin consistently does. He organizes. He plans. He delegates. He creates structure. Whether building a fort, founding a library, or starting a volunteer fire company, Franklin's genius wasn't simply having good ideas. It was turning good ideas into functioning organizations. Lesson number three, stay curious. Franklin never stopped asking questions. Even while traveling home from a military assignment, he was curious about another community's customs. He didn't ask in order to criticize, he asked in order to understand. Curiosity is often the beginning of wisdom. Lesson number four. Popularity is a byproduct, not the goal. Franklin never asked to be famous. He never asked for this ceremonial escort. He never demanded public recognition. His reputation grew because he consistently served others well. Ironically, people who chase popularity often lose it. People who pursue usefulness frequently earn lasting respect. As I finished this chapter, I realized that Benjamin Franklin continued leading the same way, whether he was in a print shop or a legislative chamber or on the frontier. The settings changed, his principles didn't. He organized people. He solved problems. He stayed curious. He looked for practical improvements. Perhaps that's why others kept asking him to take new responsibilities. Not because he sought leadership, but because leadership had become a habit. And maybe that's one of Franklin's greatest lessons. Leadership isn't something we step into one day. It's something we quietly practice every day by becoming the kind of person that others naturally trust when challenges arise. So remember, dear listeners, the lessons are older than we are and just as relevant today.